Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Another chance at $1,000 coming up during the 4 o'clock hour. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's here. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tauschen, alongside Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Written a bunch of books about the Green Bay Packers, covered them for a million years, and I don't mean that to say he's old. He's Rob Reich, LaForbes.com, and Conley Media. Robbie, we talked all year long, and that was one of the most painful games to watch there in the NFC title game. No doubt about it, but you wrote it last week about the struggles in the NFC title game, so could we have been maybe a little bit more prepared to see what was coming?
Yeah, even I didn't quite see that coming either. And even though Rodgers has struggled and been awfully miserable for the most part in NFC championship games, you could certainly argue this was his worst one. His passer rating was 52 at halftime, guys, and the game was over. I know the Rodgers apologists are out, guys, in full force.
Oh, yeah, they are.
You know, you're paying this guy $33 million a year. You're paying for him to be the best player on the football field week in and week out. You're paying for him to be absolutely outstanding in big games and big moments. And his four trips to the NFC Championship game, guys, have been nothing like that whatsoever. You know, his passer rating now is 78 in those games combined. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. Think of that, Aaron Rodgers in a four-game window throwing more interceptions than touchdowns. And, you know, guys, that passer rating I just outlined for you, that's down in the that's down there. If you look at who has a passer rating in that range during the season, it's guys like, you know, Dwayne Haskins in Washington and Kyle Allen in Carolina and Delvin Hodges in Pittsburgh. I mean, those are ugly, ugly numbers. And Green Bay needs more. They've always needed more from Aaron Rodgers at these games. And guys, I mean, I know, again, the apologists are out in full force, but you could even make the case that they're not in the Super Bowl in 2010 if it's not for the defense, because Rodgers was lousy in that game in Chicago. So he clearly had a remarkable Super Bowl. He had a pretty good postseason run. He was sensational in 2010 in Atlanta. But I'm just telling you, in these NFC Championship games on a whole, he has been really, really bad.
But this is the thing. I mean, you talk about legacies of Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. I mean, I remember when Brett Favre would lose postseason games, people would kill Brett Favre for throwing the interceptions and costing them football games. And with Aaron Rodgers, that simply does not happen in the state of Wisconsin. It is. The defense wasn't good enough. Ted didn't get him enough pieces on offense. This coordinator sucks. The head coach doesn't like him. He's killing the team. I mean, it's everything for the defense of Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre never had that same type of defense from the fan base as far as it wasn't Brett's fault.
Couldn't agree with you more, Sparky, and I don't get it. I mean, I know one of your competing stations in town, for example, has a host who wants to be Aaron's best friend. So you can see why it's coming out of that particular outlet at times. But some of the other stuff I don't get. I think the national guys have finally picked up on this a little bit, especially after the San Francisco game, and guys like Bayless and Coward who, you know, examine this a little bit closer than maybe just the random talking head. But you're exactly right, Sparky. Favre got killed, and after all these postseason losses. I mean, look at Seattle in 2014, guys, for example. The defense gets them five turnovers. They forced five turnovers that day, intercepted Russell Wilson four times. That game should have been far greater, the differential, than 16-0 at halftime, which is what it was. Aaron failed us to. I know a lot of that, guys, is on McCarthy, but Rodgers, too, missed some passes. That game could have been, you know, 23-0 or something like that at halftime. It should have never even got to a point where it was an overtime game. I mean, you can't ask any more from your defense than to turn the ball over five times against the Seattle team like they did in 14. That was a wasted opportunity. Then you look at these last two championship game guys. know, they're down 31-0 in Atlanta before Rodgers starts to pile up garbage stats, and they're down 27-0 the other day. So that's what, 58-0 combined before Rodgers does anything. Again, you need so much more out of your quote unquote Hall of Fame quarterback if you're ever going to play again on a Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, but isn't it, well, I guess the new day now. Maybe we don't get so much more in this offense with Matt LaFleur, because I don't know, we watched it all year long. It just seems like Rodgers was never going to be Rodgers again within this offense.
Time's going to tell, I guess, on that, Gary. I don't know how you felt. I kind of felt by the end of the year we were watching more of Mike McCarthy's offense again than we were watching, you know, the Rams offense or the Falcons offense. And maybe it's just Aaron Rodgers' offense. And, you know, LaFleur was asked, for example, yesterday about the play call, the play clock week in and week out, ticking down to 2-3-2-1-0 before Aaron snaps the ball. And, you know, that's certainly not a trademark of what LaFleur wants to do. That's always been a Rodgers thing, dissecting and deciphering defenses down to the last second. I don't know. My particular opinion, Gary, is his better days might be behind him. I think he still has a Hall of Fame arm, and he's obviously always going to have a Hall of Fame brain, but his legs are leaving him. His ability to escape pressure, get outside the pocket, extend plays, which he's done so well through the majority of his career and made a living at times doing some of that stuff, I think that's going to be gone here. It might already be gone. It's certainly going to be gone over the next year or two, and he's going to have to turn himself into a pocket passer, which he can do, guys. I mean, in that 2014 mm-hmm. playoff run, you guys remember that. He had the bum hamstring, and he was stuck in the pocket most of that postseason, and he played extremely well during that run in the playoffs. So he can be that guy. I just don't know, Gary, anymore if he has the ability to turn back the clock and be 2011 MVP, 2014 MVP, 2016 get hot, carry a team to the NFC Championship kind of quarterback that we've seen Aaron Rodgers be.
Talking with Rob Reichel of Forbes.com and Conley Media here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Rob, when you look at the rest of this season and kind of take it into totality, Aaron and Matt LaFleur, and it was echoed, you know, throughout the rest of the locker room, and what else are they going to say? You know, this was our best chance to win a title. We're never going to get back. It felt like everybody believes that a new window may be open or a different type of dynasty or winning opportunity could come for the Green Bay Packers. Do you believe that is the case, or this year may have been a little bit fluky just with how healthy they stayed and some of the wins that they got?
Yeah, I think they all had a rabbit's foot in their pockets this year, Billy. In repeating that is going to be tough. I mean, I know the Bears at this time last year felt like they were on the cusp mm-hmm. of, you know, a 5-year run of greatness or whatever with the young quarterback and with Mac and some of their pieces.
That's what
you
thought.
Guys know how hard it is in this league. I mean, San Francisco last year was what, drafting second in the draft. Green Bay was coming off a 6-9-1 season.
Yep.
So there's the league is so topsy turvy, and you have to. And Green Bay caught every break possible. I mean, to have all 22 preferred starters available in that NFC Championship game, to miss Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, to miss Dalvin Cook in Minnesota, to go 9-1 in games decided by 8 points or less. I mean, think about that. I mean, they caught an enormous amount of breaks. Now, that's not to say they won't be a better team next year if Gutekunst has a really strong offseason. He's going to have the financial flexibility to do it, guys. He needs to find a couple of playmakers for Rodgers on the offensive side of the ball. And obviously they're going to need to find, I think, a couple inside linebackers and maybe a defensive end. But, I mean, if he even finds 60% of that, guys, and Rodgers doesn't take a significant drop, it should be a double-digit win team again. And then once you get to the postseason, anything is possible. But to go 13-3 in that league, guys, Leroy knows this more than anybody. His 96 and 97 teams did it. Those take pretty special kind of seasons to have happen, and they're rare to get them back-to-back. And I'm not sure if this particular, you know, group of Packers is quite as good as that final record indicated.
Okay, Rob Reichel, so you're in charge of this team now in the offseason. Where, if in a perfect world, where are you going?
So, Spark, I think if they get rid of Jimmy Graham and Lane Taylor, now the salary cap could have a little bit of flexibility yet, but they're going to have about $45 million. Let's just call it
right.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they can easily go out and get themselves number one a veteran wide receiver. That would be my first order of business. I think those I think those young guys between Sternberger and Tanya, and they can develop one of those guys maybe to play that position next year. But they need a veteran wide receiver. I think they'll draft one right away at 30, Spark. But that kid probably will not come in and catch 65 or 70 balls. But A.J. Green can do that. I don't think they break the bank and pay an Amari Cooper, for example. Although I didn't think they'd break the bank either, guys. And they went out and got both the Smiths and Amos and, mm-hmm. and Billy Turner and spent $150 million on a Tuesday in March last year, right? So I guess anything's possible. But whoever that turns out to be, Sparky, if that's Perriman down from Tampa Bay or whoever they like from around the league, they have to get a guy 26, 27 years old in his prime that has a chance to line up opposite Adams and catch 5-6 balls a game. And then hope the first-round draft pick or the second-round draft pick, whoever, whatever it turns out to be, jumps up to become a three. And then Lazard and Kumrow and those guys fall into line where they should be at fours and fives. And, guys, I would be shocked if Blake Martinez is back. And obviously, he's a tackling machine, but so many of those tackles came downfield. And, guys, I think somebody will pay him an awful lot of money, honestly, based on his stats to come in. And Green Bay won't be that team in all likelihood. So they have to upgrade at that position, a little more speed, and I think they need a thumper in there, which they really haven't had since Desmond Bishop. And then I think they need a guy to line up next to Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry and give them some help. And maybe that's a draft pick too, guys. Maybe that's a high draft pick. But whatever it turns out to be, those are points of business 1, 2, and 3, wide out, inside linebacker, defensive end, Sparky.
What's your thoughts on the retention of Mike Pettine?
I was really 50-50 on that, Gary, in terms of, I thought his overall body of work deserved to come back, but what you saw there on Sunday, you just, the inability to adjust, he didn't take away the run game or even try to really until the fourth quarter. He put all his eggs in stopping Kittle and the passing game, and the 49ers were intent not to throw the ball. I mean, Gary, you don't see that kind of run offense in the Classic Eight.
No.
I mean, it's unbelievable what happened to Green Bay on the ground there. That's mm-hmm. That's worse by far to me than what happened to Ed Donatell in 03 on the fluky 4th-and-26 play, because that was one play in a season where Green Bay played pretty good defense from top to bottom, and that play eventually cost Ed Donatell his job. Mike Sherman just determined he couldn't bring him back. And I was really wondering if LaFleur would feel the same way when it comes to Pettin, because that game on a whole, guys, was as bad as any defensive coordinator has had on his resume in Green Bay in probably 3 decades. I mean, that was as bad as it gets. And on that stage, I thought it might be hard for them to bring Pettin back. So really, Gary, I guess at the end of the day, I was a little bit surprised.
And also, too, Rob, when you heard the comments by Za'Darius Smith, I know Sparky was on with our Green and Gold OT right after Gary and Bill. And, I mean, you hear your best player and the leader of your defense, the captain of your defense, the one that you sewed the C-patch on the chest for, come out and say, yeah, maybe we'll make adjustments next year. That just does not shine well on Mike Pettine.
No, it doesn't. And it was really interesting. None of us are probably ever going to know for sure how that played out over there yesterday. But, you know, at 9 o'clock, Matt LaFleur dodges the question of Mike Pettine's future. And by 3 or 4 o'clock, there's a leak that Pettin will be back, and you know, I don't know if Murphy got to LaFleur in there.
Right. Said, LaFleur, dude, do you know what you just did?
What did I just do?
No, that's what he said.
Do you know what you just did?
No, right. So again, in that 5 or 6 hour window, as that story went crazy nationally, obviously the Packers needed to plug the to plug the leak a little bit, and they put an end to that speculation and fire quickly. None of us are ever going to really know who exactly made that call, because at 9 o'clock, clearly Matt LaFleur wasn't ready to, but by 3 o'clock he somehow was.
Are you a little surprised that Matt LaFleur didn't necessarily – I mean, and I know you just said that you were a little surprised that it didn't happen, but in the beginning of this run last year, it was, you know, Mike Pettin's a former head coach. He can kind of be a little stabilizing force for Matt coming in here and learning a new system, learning a new team. Are you a little surprised that he doesn't want to go and get his own guy?
Yeah, I am a little bit, but again, and you guys know this as well as anybody. You're starting from scratch. You know, you're back to ground zero, and they're probably all in on Aaron Rodgers for the next 2 years, right? With the length of the contract.
Yes. Yep.
And if that's the case, instead of starting from scratch on the defensive side of the ball again. Again, if this was Matt's call and nobody else, and none of us are ever going to really know how that exactly played out behind closed doors because the power structure is so strange and unique over there right now. But, you know, the only positive, I guess, would be consistency and continuity. But don't tell me for a second, though, that Petten doesn't have enough players because he has a Pro Bowl nose tackle. He has two extremely high-paid outside linebackers. He has a tackling machine in Blake Martinez. He has two corners that can run and cover. He's got a safety, a veteran safety that's smart as a whip, and he's got a young ascending safety. I'm telling you, there's a lot of defenses in football, a lot of defensive coordinators that would love to start with those seven or eight pieces. And so what you saw from Green Bay last week, guys, was just an embarrassment.
Yeah, but didn't you just say they need another guy to go against, to go with Clark, and then they need a linebacker?
No, I mean, there's no question, Gary. I mean, but everybody's got holes, right?
Right. It feels like the San Francisco 49ers are a better football team than the Green Bay Packers. Well, it looks like that way to me.
They're
a better team. They have better players.
There's no question. I think top to bottom, they're probably better at 15, 16 spots on the field.
And I do understand maybe the excitement to let Petten go, but I think if you look at 14 games, you may go back and look at the schedule and you go, well, they won 14 games, and maybe 11 of those games was because of the defense played as well as he played, the reason why that they won. Because the offense was absolutely horrible this year.
Yeah, and I'll just play devil's advocate, Gary, because I'm good at that, I guess. After week 12, when San Francisco whipped them 37-8, they were 28th in the league in total defense. And then down the stretch, you know, what did they see? They saw a rookie quarterback with the Giants, a rookie quarterback with the Redskins. They saw Mitch Trubisky, who might not have a job next year. They saw Cousins, who's a legitimate NFL quarterback. And then they saw Detroit's third stringer. So, over the last months, when those stats rose then dramatically, Gary, they weren't seeing.
So then who would you like for – what quarterbacks you would like to see them play then? That would prove it to
you. Yeah, you know that.
Exactly.
That's
my point.
Schedule makers.
That's my point.
I'm just saying, Gary, when
you play who's on your schedule,
a different level of competition early in the year, that defense was not playing at a very, very strong level.
Well, that defense carried that team early part of the year.
At times it did. Yep.
Because the offense wasn't good.
They made a living, Gary, on takeaways, which is the way to win in this league.
Let me ask you this, too, Robbie, while we got you, we'll let you get going here shortly. What are we seeing from Rodgers? I mean, do we know that his numbers were down, I guess, a little bit, and maybe it was a product of the offense, or are we seeing maybe a little deterioration of Rodgers' skill level?
Oh, I think it's both. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, and this is what these veterans will tell you, Gary, and you certainly have a larger history on this than I do. That the legs are the first to go. And, you know, Brett Favre, again, could probably still whip the ball around today, right? But he won't. He lost his mobility. He couldn't get out of the pocket. By the end of Dan Marino's career, Lynn Dickey's career, right, they were statues in the pocket. They had no mobility whatsoever. The arms didn't go. I think Aaron's legs are going on him a little bit. I think you saw that last year and then a little bit more this year. He could not escape pressure, guys. The way he used to in the past. He couldn't outrun end to the corner. He couldn't extend plays and make them 6-7 seconds. And he's got to learn to adjust and get rid of the ball quicker. Gary, I think the Lions game was a perfect example of his accuracy declining a little bit too. Now, he was sensational against Seattle, but on a whole, he's had some clunkers in there. And I think his accuracy is down a little bit as well. I do think his overall skill set has dropped a little. Now, so that's natural. I mean, he's 37 next year, by the time we get to the final quarter of the season. So then it falls on the general manager. He has to keep that run game strong, and he has to find Aaron another weapon or two. And if he can do those things, much like John Elway in the later stages of his career, you've got a chance. But Rodgers, again, has to be dramatically better in some of these big postseason games and big postseason moments that he has been.
Rob, do you believe that in the final or in this offseason, now year two of the system, cleans up some of the mechanics on the lower body? I know he's always thrown off balance and he's always been praised for it, but he cleans up some of his mechanics and his footwork. You believe that he can get some of that accuracy back next year?
a lot of that, Billy, is going to be up to him, right?
Sure.
Does he want to be coached? Does he want to change? Does he want to listen? You know, does he want to take instructions and orders from a guy 4 years older than him? I would think the answers to all those should be yes, because I think most of what we saw from Matt LaFleur this year was a positive, and I think that relationship on a whole was pretty good. And if that happens, then sure. I mean, let's take it back to Favre and McCarthy, right, guys? Favre was a mess in 05 in Mike Sherman's final year. He threw 29 picks that year, and I think 17 or 18 touchdowns or something like that. It was like 1.5 to 1 interceptions to touchdowns, which is lunacy. And by 06, McCarthy had him cleaned up a little bit, and by 07, he was playing some of the best football of his life again and was second in the MVP race and took Green Bay to 13-3 in the NFC title game. So it absolutely can happen at the later stages of one of these guys' careers. The key is Rodgers has to totally buy in, Billy, right? He can't be half in. He can't fall back into some of his old ways and bad habits and things like that and think he's the smartest guy in the room and smarter than his head coach and all that kind of stuff, which has always been an Aaron Rodgers problem.
No doubt about it. And it's just a fascinating offseason that you come into. And honestly, one that, I mean, we knew it was going to be interesting, didn't know that it was going to have this many question marks and this high profile, because 14 wins is something incredible to try to follow up with. Robbie, appreciate it, man. Really appreciate all the great work you helped us out with all year long, and enjoyed reading it all at Forbes.com and Conley, all right?
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you later. Thanks.
Take it easy.
Thanks,
Rob. Good hearing from you. That's Rob Reichel.
Great guy.
Forbes.com and Conley Media. Great Midwest Bank Hotline is where he joined us, as all our guests do. Mm-hmm. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com. Simply local lending since 1935. The Pfister Hotel.
Yeah, great guy. Isn't he? I love Robbie. That guy's awesome. And Pfister Hotel, man, you experience the Midwest. Folks, experience the Midwest, Condé Nast, Travelers Reader's top choice, and experience the wonder of the Pfister at thepfisterhotel.com. But wait, folks, I got one more. Right next door to the Pfister, their award-winning Mason Street Grill, a fantastic local joint with wood-fired dishes, delicious steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and live music. Literally some of the best steak you will ever have. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant bar, bustling dining room, or elegant private spaces, experience the best of the era, fresh cuisine, expert service, and unmatched atmosphere. Reserve your table today at MasonStreetGrill.com. Two fabulous places right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. The Pfister Hotel Restaurant Bar, and next door, folks, the Mason Street Grill.
It's the Wendy's Big Show. We got Eric Name coming up at 4:48. Also, the buzz of the day with some thing that Wisconsin sports fans will love in the city, but maybe one that they would have hated had they had to go to South Beach next week. That's all coming up. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.